The news from Moscow this morning, Vladimir Putin is staging a summit with more than a dozen world leaders, and those countries include Brazil, India, China, South Africa, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, Ethiopia, and Iran, the largest international gathering the Russian president has hosted since the start of the war in Ukraine. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. And Joe, what do you make of this? And I imagine Ukraine will be topic one, and probably the Middle East number two. What do you think?
Yeah, indeed, Bob, and hello from Kharkiv. And as I speak, I'm also monitoring the information channels here, because at this moment the Russians are launching a missile attack on the region of Kharkiv. But so at the moment, the city is calm. The BRICS is really the alliance of nations that Russia has created as Moscow says, as Putin says, to stand as a counterbalance to the free nations. Wait, he doesn't put it this way, but to the free nations of the world. And in fact, you know, I didn't know this until recently, but on September 11th, 2013, Putin had an op-ed in the New York Times where he was laying out this kind of vision, you know, that he was going to be some kind of counterweight to the United States. And he put it, you know, that, you know, standing for, you know, sovereignty. It was interesting. If you read that op-ed, everything that Ukraine says they're standing for is what Putin claimed to be standing for. But the BRICS nations include Brazil, Russia, of course, India, China, and South Africa are the major players. And, you know, for example, India has tried to walk the line here and, you know, to try to be to have some kind of neutrality. But India is, I think, now the main importer of Russian gas. And then through India, the Indians are able to sell that gas. They refine it in India and they sell it to Europe. And so India is actually significantly helping Russia's war effort. And as the BRICS nations gather to meet, notably, the United Nations Secretary General will be there, which is interesting because he was not at President Zelensky's peace summit in Switzerland. So that the Ukrainians are, you know, take that as at the very least as a snub to Ukraine. And I think it was yesterday, in the United Nations in New York, Japan's ambassador to the United Nations was condemning this you know, strengthening alliance between the powers of Russia, North Korea, Iran, and others. And he said, pretending to be neutral is supporting the aggressor. Those are the words of the Japanese ambassador to the UN. And then he added, anyone who, he says, referring to the situation in Ukraine as a Ukraine crisis or the Ukraine war is malicious or misguided at best. Ukraine is defending itself against Russia's aggression, which violates the UN Charter. And in particular, the Japanese ambassador said he's very concerned by this newfound cooperation between North Korea and Russia. And it seems, according to the latest intel and reports, that the North Koreans are planning to put their troops that will be working with Russia. Initially, they plan to be in the Kursk region of Russia to push back the Ukrainians. And probably they're doing that because they know that if they were directly on Ukrainian soil in a combat in a combat mode, that would be more escalatory. So they're on Russian soil in Kursk. And in response to this, South Korea is considering sending troops to Ukraine to monitor the presence of the North Koreans. So we see, you know, I mean, you could, as you, anyone who knows well the history of, say, the 1930s, it seems that we hear a lot of echoes of that time, and we have all these different maneuverings around the world.
Yeah, it's sort of depressing, concerning, certainly, that an emerging coalition of countries stands behind Putin, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially, I mean, countries that, you know, otherwise would, you know, like normal civilized countries like India and even Brazil. But yeah, I mean, the Indian government, I mean, they are, you know, profiting from this and enabling Russia to continue. But it's not just, you know, I mean, those countries are doing this very obviously, but there's many concerns even within the United States. And more than 50 members of Congress have signed a letter, bipartisan members of Congress have signed a letter to the Biden administration asking them to tighten sanctions. And among their concerns, there's a Houston-based company called Schlumberger. It's an oil field services company. And they are still providing technical expertise to Russia and products to Russia. Financial Times reporting from the Financial Times, they uncovered through Russian customs documents, this Houston-based company, despite the company saying that they're not working with Russia, they indeed are. And Representative Lloyd Doggett, a Democrat from Austin, Texas, said that the U.S. government is funding both sides of this war.
Joseph, on a lighter note, listen to this email about our talk yesterday. Hey, Bob, what's so bad about 14-hour or longer train rides? Okay, some are better than others in the United States, but truth teller Joseph Lindsley has the right idea. Get a room with a bed and go to the dining car to talk to people you don't know. Can be a great change from air or car travel as long as you ride the right train. And you did yesterday, didn't you?
I completely agree. And especially if you're traveling through a war and you don't have good cell service, you have no idea what's going on and you can have a bit of a break. And some people were asking me after the show yesterday what kind of Italian sandwich I had. It was made by great bakers in Lviv with porchetta and pesto and fresh bread. And so a nice meal, some good drink and good company on the train is actually a bit of a retreat in the wartime. And the contrast to just a few minutes, well, no, about an hour after we finished talking yesterday, Bob, the air raid alarms began to sound. I was walking, as I was doing my broadcast outside, and some friends in Kharkiv had gathered around, just sort of a live audience there. And as we after we finished, we were walking through this beautiful park, the city garden in the middle of the city, and the air raid alarms began to sound. It was turning into twilight. At that moment, the Russians began to attack the city. They were hitting the suburbs. An extraordinary scene, because in this park is like 19th century wrought iron lamps, and on the lamps they have speakers, and they're playing very calm classical music, and people are walking calmly, slowly, you know, children and adults, and the fountains are going in the park, and then but you can feel the, you know, the vibration of the missiles hitting the ground. And just quite a you know, you still see the calmness of this city, even amid the daily hell that happens here.
What an unbelievable scene. Well, glad you can find some comfort in the war. Thank you, Joe. Be safe.
Thanks, Bob. Until tomorrow.